Well, I guess there's another show. Let's see, this must be show 11 coming on board here now. Show 11, can you believe that? 11 shows, maybe that's just two ones. Yeah, I think it's just two ones. This is show 1-1. So anyway, welcome to the Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy show number 1-1. And of course, Wes Montgomery was playing there in the background. Actually not. That was from Atlantis Rising, where we hooked up, I made a sound on a synthesizer on a Roland D50 that sounded like Wes Montgomery. And then I played like Wes Montgomery, because I like to make good sounds. Actually, Wes was indirectly my guitar teacher back when I knew Leo Fender back in the 60s when I first met the Moody Blues. When I was learning how to play guitar, which I never really got to play very well because it's too hard of an instrument. I'll stick to my bagpipes and clarinets and saxophones and keyboards. They're a lot easier. That guitar stuff is for real musicians. Anyhow, by the way, if you ever want Atlantis Rising, I don't know if there's any, you might check my website. There used to be clips on there. It's a good album. We did it in 1989, and it's available. You can order it if you want. Anyhow, I guess the blog and service is now merged with something else, and we're going to be going on the air more and more, and that's going to be kind of fun. And eventually, if I ever get a large enough listening audience, well, then I'll probably go on the air live too. But right now, I'm satisfied with the audience that I have. It's been a good audience. And tonight's going to be a good show. Tonight's show is going to be about pyramids. Oh, my God. Can't believe we're going to talk about pyramids. I don't know where that came from. I have nothing to do. Well, yes, I do have something to do with them. Being the largest pyramid manufacturer in the world for about 30 years, or I don't know how long we've been doing it, I guess we can talk about pyramids. I know in my earlier show, I definitely covered the beginning of how the pyramids had something to do with my life and how it all began. As you might recall, we talked about the chiropractor that had Gary Couture that discovered my pyramids when I was working at Pyramid Power 5, and I gold plated one for omnidirectional abilities, and he started testing it on his patients and came to some amazing results that it had the same life force in it as all nutritional products and all vitamins. And that was the beginning, of course, of the company called Pyradyne, which is a pretty interesting company today. It seems to be moving right along, progressively forward. So we're going to talk about some of those pyramids. I think I remember talking about the Pyradome, our first product, and how he started out with that, and that's on the earlier tapes. But that's not, well, we're not talking about the origin of Pyradyne tonight. We're talking about the product line itself and why pyramids are important. You know, whether there's a cardboard pyramid you might have or a plastic pyramid or any of those sorts of things. Pyramids are pyramids. Pyramid, of course, means fire in the middle. And Pyradyne, of course, means the dynamic of fire. That's what Pyradyne stands for. If you ever wonder why we call it Pyradyne, actually I didn't name the company, some scientist friend of mine did. I'm not very good at names or advertising or any of that sort of thing. And so when we started wearing pyramids a long time ago, we began to notice changes in the body. And the body's made up of oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, and carbon, as I've said many times through this tape series, which is very important. But tonight we want to start looking at the carbon atom itself, which is an octahedrally shaped atom, very much like a pyramid. Pyramid right side up, pyramid upside down, which is also found in a red blood cell. Pyramids are basic structure of the body. The basic structure of the body itself is a pyramid-shaped atom. And, of course, it sends out a frequency attracting, I might add, oxygen, hydrogen, and nitrogen, which, of course, hydrogen is the atom of consciousness. And so pyramids are very important. The first thing I want to talk about is how pyramids detox the body. That's a very important thing to understand. I know people oftentimes, including myself, have gone on fasts, juice fasts, water fasts, fasts of nothing but water, fasts of nothing excluding water, all kinds of fasts. I spent a lot of years working with Dick Gregory. He was originally started out on Laugh-In, if you remember correctly, and he walked from when Laugh-In was a Rowan and Martin presentation. Goldie Hawn started out with him too, I might add, and a few others that you might know. Dick was about 100 pounds overweight when Laugh-In terminated, and if you ever watch the old series out of the 50s, actually out of the 60s, you'll see him on there. And he decided that he needed to lose some weight, so he ran from Los Angeles to New York to get a job and lost 100 pounds. And on the process, he didn't eat all the way there. He decided to burn off the body fat and just drink a little water, and he was very successful. And I remember many years later when I got to know him, and we used to travel together doing lectures and stuff, things like that. We'd be driving down the road, and instead of running into a fast food store or something, he'd run into a regular store and get a couple of bananas or an apple and a bottle of water, and that was about all he ever ate. But he was very strict on fasting for detoxing. A lot of people do distilled water fasts, you know, which is great. Of course, when you do that, you leach all the trace minerals, so you got to put those back. There's one area in the body that fasting just won't cleanse. You know, it's not the liver, it's not the kidneys, it's not the blood, it's the head. You know, how do you detox your head? Ever think about how you would detox your head? Or why would you detox your head? In other words, why would somebody detox their head? Well, because head's full of it, just like the rest of the body. And I'm not talking about the joke where the rear end decided to close off the body and destroy everything up behind it, but talking about actually detoxing the brain. And people don't know, well, how did my brain get toxic? Well, if you've ever smoked a tobacco or marijuana, my brain is toxic. If you've ever eaten junk food, your brain is toxic. And if you ever breathe the air on this planet, your brain is toxic. And it's accumulative. It's very accumulative. People say, well, what do you mean my brain is toxic? Well, it's sluggish. One of the things, toxicity, is it moves through the brain. It causes a lot of problems in the body, which gradually shuts down all of the endocrine functions of the body, and finally leads to senility if you don't stop it, arrest it, get it to quit. So you really, really need to detox your brain. And so far, we've only found one scientifically provable, variable way of doing that, and that is to wear a specially constructed pyramid, not just a cardboard pyramid. People say, well, what does the pyramid do when I put it on? Well, the first thing it does, if you have biofeedback equipment, puts your body into alpha. If, I emphasize if, it's made out of a natural soft substance. Okay, well, what's a natural soft substance? Well, it's not plastic. A plastic pyramid on the body behaves very much like a positive ion generator, and it's been proven in a 24-hour period, if you only breathe positive ions, and the 25th hour, you'll be out of your body permanently. So that's not very good. Oh, aluminum. People get aluminum pyramids. Let's make an aluminum pyramid. Well, an aluminum pyramid is also toxic because it's an amphoteric element, meaning that it has electrons that go either way in valence out on the outer electron shell. So what that does to your body is eventually it will cause Alzheimer's disease if you have enough aluminum in it, from pans and cooking on pans and things like that. So aluminum is really not what you want either. Aluminum in the form of a pyramid produces a positive ion effect because it's a toxic metal. And some people say, well, wait a minute, in the trace minerals, I've seen aluminum listed in a lot of trace minerals. I've seen it. Well, yeah, of course you've seen it. You got good eyes. So your vitamin A is working. But the bottom line is the aluminum that you saw listed on a trace mineral coming out of nature is not the aluminum on the pan. The aluminum on the pan is inorganic. The aluminum in nature is organic. As a matter of fact, the aluminum in nature actually has a positive effect on the body if it's taken in very small amounts. I mean minute amounts occasionally, not all the time. It actually aids in the breathing process. But in a synthetic or normal metal process, as we know it in tins and pans and inorganic, it has just the opposite. It has an asphyxiating property to the body. So it does exactly the opposite of what it does when in its natural state, its organic state. So aluminum pyramids, no. Plastic pyramids, no. Cardboard pyramids, okay. Why? Because it's usually a cotton pulp product. It's a natural product. But unfortunately, the cardboard pyramid that you see on some old science kits and you make at home will not work on the human body because it doesn't have enough energy to it. Well, now you say, what does that mean? Doesn't have enough energy. I thought we had the energy. How does a pyramid have energy? Well, a pyramid does have energy, and it is, and otherwise inside of your body in the red blood cell, you would not be alive if it didn't have energy. So it has energy. And the energy that it has is called by the Tibetans Phohatic Force, Phohatic Force. There's a book called Treatise on Cosmic Fire written by Alice A. Bailey, you might want to read, that goes into Phohatic Force. In simple layman's terms, it's the seven levels of energy that are necessary for the seven levels of consciousness. It's the animating, fractionating energy field that gives you the personality and the power to love, hate, and to be compassionate, to have sex and enjoyment, and to feel euphoric or depressed. It all comes through the carbon atom, which is pyramid-shaped. And, of course, when we do the glue experiments, what we've talked about in previous, where you muscle test breathing glue without a pyramid in your presence and you test weak, and then we bring the pyramid into your presence, whether it be a receptor or a pyramid on your head, even though you're still breathing the same glue, you now test strong, even stronger than you did before you were testing, you know, breathing the glue. It's because of the resonant factor of the shape itself. It has a magical shape. And I say magic in the scientific, not a fantasy type term. Now getting back to detoxing the brain. Well, first, before we get back to detoxing the brain, we got to understand that the pyramids that we've developed, Pyridyn, are orgone plated, meaning that they have active and passive metals. This is something that's not possible to do with cardboard. It will not stand the chemicals that are used, you know, in the process, processing chemicals, to do plating in the first place. Of course, we remove all the chemicals from the pyramid, but they do have to come and go in the plating process. So we use alternate levels of precious metals, which are active metals, along with a passive metal called nickel, to create a active and passive structure on the surface of the pyramid, not unlike what goes on inside of a transistor or an integrated circuit in a computer or a television set or an old transistor radio. The bottom line of a transistor is that it amplifies an electric current or amplifies an electric voltage. And if you remember some of the earlier tapes that we've discussed or early shows that we've had, we've talked about the voltage on the brain, especially in the series when we talked about the auric frequencies. Those we talked about very much, and we brought up the fact that the electrolysis taking place in the brain causes electricity to flow in the brain, causing a battery-type situation wherein hormones come and interrupt circuits and vibrate circuits in the brain or turn them off and on, which we call orchestration, thereby sending out frequencies and pulses and energies out through the spinal cord, which causes our body to animate and to digest and do all the things that we do. So, that said, we have different classes of pyramids, and it will detox the brain, some that won't detox the brain very well. The first class of pyramids that we've developed over the years, and been copied, I might say, by a lot of companies around the world, especially in Japan, were the relaxers, the muscle-relaxing, body-relaxing, alpha-producing pyramid structures. These include a Vitamid, which is normally used for plants and vitamin charging and detoxing your jewelry by placing it in there. And some people like Andy Young, back when he was ambassador of the United Nations, he actually wore one. Of course, he looked kind of funny wearing a Vitamid, but he wore it anyway. I've got pictures of him wearing it while he worked in the UN building. Then we got the Pyridome, which is the one that we started the company with. Pyridome is a small 9-inch device that's worn on the head for relaxation, and it continuously keeps the body in the alpha state. And we also have the Gold Power Dome, which is more like a tranquilizer. It causes you to relax and go into alpha, but not on as a downer. Like you remember we talked about in the earlier series when we started Pyridyn, how we put Pyridomes on people, especially housewives and women's heads that were taking Valium and how we could take them off the Valium and detox them, of course, which is a serious detox, not as bad as alcohol, but still pretty serious, and get them off the drug permanently and keep them relaxed and get rid of the cramps in the necks and the muscles and all the things that go stiff when you don't wear a pyramid and you're around stress or you're driving. Okay? So then the Gold Power Dome, which is a more expensive version because it's made out of pure titanium, which has a healing force in itself, the metal. The Power Dome, what it does is it brings you into the alpha state, but if you're laid back, it also increases your energy, whereas the Pyramid Dome doesn't. Pyramid Dome just puts you out, and the Power Dome raises your energy and gets your energy fields up and running so you can go out and get something accomplished while you're wearing it. Gold Power Dome. The next series of pyramids are one pyramid, and that was called the Fire Dome. Fire Dome is a gold-plated pyramid with a layer of copper on the top of it, orgone-plated copper. And what the Fire Dome does, it works strictly in the solar plexus. It's a solar plexus device, and it also, because of the mannerism in which it works, it also destroys a virus that creates rheumatoid arthritis. I know for a long time people were wearing these little copper bracelets that were made in Japan to curb or destroy arthritic, energies. And because they would eventually at some point in time circulate through the blood past where this bracelet was, it gave them an action to work. But what we found is that the Fire Dome worn on the head is far more effective than a bracelet worn on the wrist, because all of the blood in the body goes through the head at a very close proximity to the surface. And as a result of that, the pyramid is there and it affects it, balances the pH of the blood, which makes it an anti-cancer solution. And also, it causes the body to start detoxifying in the brain. So in other words, the Fire Dome is the first pyramid that will detoxify the brain. Then we come up into precious metals to the next level, and we come up to the mentally stimulating pyramids. And these are two in number. One is the Radome, which I call the low-cost solution to longer attention span and things like that. And then we go into the Power Dome, which is made out of titanium like the Gold Power Dome. This is now called the Silver Power Dome. And the Silver Power Dome with the orgone plating process on it is incredibly powerful. And it enhances psychic energy, enhances attention span, enhances, memory, all these kinds of things, and it's a very strong detoxer of the brain. So that's the class of the headgear. Of course, there's larger pyramids that you sleep in, and that's something that we won't get into at this moment. So now, let's say, all these pot pyramids, we got the Vitamin, we got the Radome, we got the Fire Dome, the Power Dome, gold and silver. What does this all mean about detoxifying the brain? Well, let's look at how the brain works. First of all, when you breathe air in, it goes into your lungs, down through the trachea and into your lungs. The air passageways are very large. So when you breathe air in, the passageway to your lungs is very usually uncongested and usually is not restricted in any way, shape, or form. It's usually fairly clear, easy to bring and breathe in air. The air comes in, goes into the lungs, comes out of the lungs, goes through the aorta valve, through the heart, okay, obviously it needs to go to the heart, and then up trachea up to the brain, comes into the base of the brain in an area called the pons, and into a circulatory nervous system called the circle of Willis in the base of the brain. Now, what happens here is where the toxicity problem starts. The arterial size, or the size of the veins, the pipes, whatever you want to call them, containing blood and oxygen because they just came from the lungs, are very large. But when you get this large blood supply up to the base of the brain, it goes from a quarter of an inch pipe or tube or whatever, which is very large, to a millionth of an inch pipe, which is very small. In other words, the blood circulation almost goes through a membrane. So what happens is, when you reduce some orifice, something from a quarter of an inch to a millionth of an inch, what you basically have is a microfilter or a filter. So what happens is that any kind of heavy things that, from example, if you're smoking tobacco, the tar and nicotine in tobacco, the molecules are extremely large, and they barely penetrate a millionth of an inch artery. As a matter of fact, most of the time they won't. So they're going to get stuck and lodged in the base of your brain. If you're outside breathing particles, your particles sometimes are as small or large as 0.1 microns that go into your blood. Sometimes, obviously, they're larger, and some are smaller. Well, these, the brain is like a high-efficiency particle filter, a HEPA filter. The brain now filters out the dirt and stuff that's in the air. So all these different things that go on cause the brain to start to slow down and get sluggish over a period of time. And the more pollutants that you breathe in, the worse the brain is going to get. So what are symptoms? How do I know? What is symptomatic of this? Well, the first thing that happens in the body is, this is what I used to demonstrate in my lectures, is the base of your brain contains the neural circuits that create balance in the body. Balance. Physical balance. When we're young, it's very easy to stand up on one foot, put the other one out in front of you, put your hands out around, and jump around on one foot, or just play hopscotch on one foot. A lot of people find as they get older, they can't stick one foot out in front of them and stand on one foot, let alone hop. They're already falling over when they got the first foot off the ground for more than 30 seconds. They're going to tip over. And the reason for that is they can't get their proper balance anymore because that part of their brain is now full of congestion. And it needs to be detoxed, but they don't know how to detox. They don't even know what's going on, so they accept it as part of the aging process, which is the dumbest thing that I've ever heard. Anytime somebody says they have a condition, a physical condition, due to aging, and they're not at 90 years old yet, I pretty much say to myself, that person doesn't understand their body or they don't take care of it. They may have a problem, but it's not due to aging. It's probably junk food or bad health habits, not aging. Aging does slow the body down, but it shouldn't slow it down right away. So, the first part of the brain that's affected, the occipital lobes in the back, the base of the brain, that causes a balancing problem. It doesn't get to the parietal lobes up in the front till later, which causes another problem. So then as you get past, remember now your organs are shrinking, right? We talked about that. After age 30, your organs shrink at a rate of 5% every 10 years. So by the time you go from 30 to 50, your liver and kidneys are, 20% smaller than they were when you were 20. So as a result of that, you got less detoxing going on and more stuff kicking in the bloodstream, not now from the lungs, but from the rest of the bloodstream, and that's going to end up in the brain. That's causing a problem. So you're starting to get the drift of what's going on here, hopefully. It's not all that nice. So, as you get older and you don't do anything about this, not only do you start to lose your balance and equilibrium, but now what happens is you start getting toxic in your midbrain. When you start getting toxic in your midbrain, endocrine function is going to be affected now because that's the part of the brain that sends out the electrical and analytical and controlling signals that goes down into the digestive organs, the heart, and all the rest of the body. And so as a result of those signals starting to fail because the sludge is building up, remember you got a millionth of an inch of blood flow from a quarter of an inch intake, and so the sludge is gradually moving from the base of your brain forward, and as it gets into your midbrain, the first thing that people notice is they have allergies and things like that start to show up. Because you can't process anymore. Therefore, if there are certain things you put in your body, whether it be air or food, or even stress, you can't process it, and so things start to happen that aren't comfortable. And you end up getting on medications or all kinds of special nutrients to compensate for it, when the bottom line is, it's not the aging process that's causing it, it's the actual brain getting clogged up. It needs time to detox your brain. Now left unchecked, it moves further forward. Further failure of brain function, further failure of electrical signals and impulses. And I find that between the midbrain and the forebrain, two things start to show up in people, two very noticeable diseases, okay? One is Parkinson's disease. And what happens here is the electricity going out to the muscle is no longer smoothly coordinated and becomes sporadic, causing a jumping sensation. And the other is the beginning of what we call Alzheimer's disease, wherein heavy metals are now trapped within the other things that are stuck in the brain. The heavy metals have probably got there first. But what happens is now there's not enough oxygen to overcome the failure of synapses or the absorption of energy that these trace minerals that are, you know, inorganic trace minerals are there absorbing electricity and creating anti-resonant currents in the brain. So as a result, Alzheimer, or the failure to remember things in the past and even the present, starts to set in. So these are the conditions that start as these Parkinson's and Alzheimer's and other diseases start to set in, you know, diseases start to set in. Eventually it reaches what's called the forebrain or the parietal lobes. And when it reaches out there, it starts to cause a motion or a movement. It signals to the serotonin in the pineal gland, the serotonin to start moving out of the pineal gland into the brain. And starts tranquilizing the brain because the brain is going into pain. You have a brain in pain, and now you're starting to shut the circuit down. You're starting to go to sleep. So now people start to act like they're in a fog, they're in a cloud, they're old, they don't get it, and eventually they're out of their body. It puts you to sleep. Now, realize that serotonin in children is stimulated fear and loud noises and uncomfortable emotional energies or traumas on a child triggers a flight or fright syndrome, which produces serotonin, which calms the child down. But the child's metabolism and metabolites are so strong that it doesn't kill him. A child doesn't go to sleep. He'll take a nap. There's no doubt about it. Especially young children, like babies, will sleep a lot because there's a lot of serotonin moving through their bodies, because they're not ready to handle the stressful environment of the adult world. But now this, what I'm describing, reaction, is having a different effect on a small child than it does an old condescending adult. So you begin to understand here how the body works, and all at the same time, a little bit more about the pineal gland. Thought I'd throw that in because it's important to understand that when you realize how this stuff works. So now that we see that we have a gradually, and by the way, if you smoke cigars or cigarettes, you can triple X this pollution process through the brain, and you can believe me, the nicotine and stuff that's up in there is horrendous. It is horrendous. And if you were to do an autopsy on your brain, you wouldn't even want to go there, believe me. And it's to me, and in my amazement, the amount of nicotine and tar, a low tar, that gets in people's brains where they can still function from, say, smoking in the late teens, early 20s on through life, especially when they've been doing it for 10 or 15 years. The amount of tar in the brain is incredible. It's amazing how you can still function. And most people actually don't. One of the first things they lose is the ability to stop the habit in the first place because they're so strung out on nicotine. That's why I get into my anti-smoking programs and things like that I've done over the years. We're not talking about that tonight, so that's another discussion later. So, now you see the problem. You know, it starts out with balance, it goes into assimilation, it goes into outright failure of the brain and senility, and finally death. That's our little track as the pollution of the brain goes, and this can be easily verified scientifically. All you need is a person to volunteer to be dissected, which we do have people that get that, do volunteer. Of course, they're not around to see what the dissection results are, for obvious reasons. So now, how do we detox the brain? That's the big question tonight. And the way you detox the brain is you put a vibrating source that resonates at the brain wave frequencies. Now, Well, brainwave frequencies. We've talked about those. I'm not even going to go there tonight. We should know what they are. The alpha, beta, theta, delta, theta frequencies that we have in our brain go from, I guess we will talk about them, from direct current, DC, no motion, no oscillatory motion, to 18 cycles per second. And then stress starts from 18 cycles per second or 18 hertz and goes up from there. So these are the frequencies of the brain. And, of course, the brain can't respond to anything when it gets clogged up, so it just secretes serotonin and says, I'm going to sleep permanently when you're an adult, and you die, or you lose your body. So, pyramids. Now, what does a pyramid do? Well, pyramid vibrates at a resonant frequency that the brain responds to. In the base of the brain, what's called the pons, is a pyramid-shaped area down there. It's like the bottom of your brain is a bunch of pyramids. Of course, pyramids in a gas tank of a car gives it better gas mileage. I guess you're getting better gas mileage out of your brain by God forcing your, or shaping your brain that way. So what happens is when you put a pyramid on your head of the right materials, your brain immediately begins to vibrate. And it's almost the way I always describe this to people, is that you're taking a rusty pipe, and even though the pipe is rusty and you turn the water on, the water looks clean. As soon as you slam that pipe with a couple of hammer blows, all of a sudden the rust is dislodged in the pipe and out comes rusty looking water. Whereas 5 minutes before and previous to that, you've never had rusty but clear water only coming out of your faucet. So now you got a rusty water looking faucet coming out. So, well, you say to yourself, what do I do now? I mean, this pyramid is going to do that. What happens? What's the next effect? Well, the next effect is when you detox by wearing one of these pyramids, and preferably it's a power dome. Not a gold power dome, but it has to be a silver power dome because it takes the energy of silver combined with the energy of the pyramid and the orgone effect to create enough of a frequency in the body to do this, to cause it to detoxify. There's only two pyramids that really detox, actually three that detox the brain. It's the fire dome, the ray dome, and the silver power dome. Well, the rest of them do not do this very well. They do it a little bit, but these are the ones that seem to do it the best. So what happens is all these poisons start coming out of your brain, and where do they go? Boom, kidneys. Boom, bladder. So what happens is you have to go to the bathroom, but in the process of all of this happening, you're liable to get a headache because it's just like in a hangover from alcohol. Your body has got so much acetaldehyde from breaking down the formaldehyde, which is alcohol, that the acetaldehyde produces a overload on the liver, and the liver's natural indicator is it's got a buzzer built in. It says bzzz. You know, when the liver is too busy, it pushes the buzzer, but the buzzer on this happens to be your head. and the head, it aches, and that's what you have is a headache. And that's exactly what you'll get with a silver power dome or a ray dome or a fire dome when you start detoxing too fast. I guarantee you 100% you will have a serious headache putting this pyramid on. And if you're a smoker, you'll have it soon. You won't have to wait long because all that nicotine, for the first time since you put the first cigarette to your mouth and took your first inhaling puff and you said, I took it all in, that's when it all started. And now it's begun, the detox part. So that's important. So you now have to, you know, I don't think you'll leave the pyramid on. Most people at this point say, what do I do with this pyramid? And the answer is very simple. Take it off. And then what do you do? Take some vitamin C and drink a lot of water and wait till the headache goes away. Headache could be gone in 10 minutes or it might be half a day. Who knows, depending on how bad you are detoxing. And if you happen to have a gold power dome or a pyridome around, you can place one of those two objects on your head. It will put you in the alpha state and it will slow down your blood, your heart rate, and your detox will slow down and it'll get rid of your headache. The headache will go away. That's what those two pyramids do. So, now once the headache's gone, what do we do? Well, we go for another headache. And you continue on with any one of these three. And if you start out with a fire dome will not detox you completely. It'll get the process started. But if you put a power dome after a fire dome is finished, in other words, you're not getting headaches anymore while wearing it, you'll probably start a whole new series of headaches. And I found that out by inventing those products in that order. The fire dome gave me a headache, and then it didn't anymore. Then later on we invented the ray dome. That gave me a headache, even though the fire dome still didn't. And then later on when the power dome came along, the silver power dome, that gave me a huge headache. And it was almost, even though I'd wore the radome for a couple of years before the power dome came along, I was still so toxic that the power dome, it took me a whole year where I could wear it for more than an hour. It was amazing. But now what happens? Okay, now people say, all right, so now I've worn this thing. It's been a year now, or it's been 6 or 8 months. What do I feel now? How do I know that this thing has worked, other than the fact I don't have a headache? Well, there's a lot of ways to figure out how you feel. The first thing that happens, believe it or not, in the brain, because the brain is starting to detox, usually instead at the far end, the part where the blood exits, it actually detoxes the base, so your balance comes back. That's the first thing that people notice. They usually notice two things happening: the balance coming back in their bodies, and they also notice pH changes in their bodies, and they also notice their attention span increases quite a bit. As a matter of fact, up at Orchid Union School, we had a couple of things in San Luis Obispo, California. We had a couple of very interesting things happen using pyramids. The first thing that happened was we were working with a nine-year-olds in a class, which was probably third or fourth grade. And what we did is we put pyramids on their heads to watch them, how they would behave scholastically and so on and so forth. Well, we had a teacher named Sky Lewis, very conservative guy. And he had a student named Stan Alms, A-L-M-E-S, in his class, who had, since he was very young, had suffered from grand mal seizures. And he had to take lithium to slow down the frequency of the seizures. And as a result of this, he was also dyslexic. So what happened was this kid, after a month of wearing the pyridome and the, the pyridome and the radome, no longer had grand mal seizures and no longer was dyslexic. His brain started to work from left to right like it's supposed to and back again. So Stan Alms, I'll never forget, he called me at 2 o'clock in the morning. Sky Lewis, the teacher, Stan is a student. And he calls me up at 2 o'clock in the morning. I was just like, nobody called me in those days. Now everybody does, but in those days nobody called me at 2 o'clock in the morning, but he did. And least of all would I expect a very conservative school teacher to be calling me. And the guy was so excited. He says, Dr. Bell, you'll never guess what happened. What happened today in class? I says, what? He says, we have a student over there that's been taking meds for all his life, and all of us, and he's had grand mal seizures. He's dyslexic and blah blah blah. He's a very nice kid. He's very bright, but he's got problems. You know, he almost swallows his tongue sometimes. He's been wearing that pyramid now for a month, and as of today, he went all day without one single epileptic grand mal seizure. He didn't have one all day. And tomorrow, we're hoping he won't have one either. I says, this is very exciting news. I says, what do you think caused that? And he says, there's only one thing that changed in this kid's environment. And he even had acknowledged it, because he has enough of an attention span now, because he's not having these seizures, he can actually read a whole paragraph. And he read a whole paragraph out of the book. And then, Dr. Bell, he wrote you a paragraph. He actually sat down and composed, starting from the left side of the page, going to the right-hand side of the page instead of the opposite, which he was doing, and writing words forward rather than backwards. He wrote you a testimonial, and we had it notarized. We're so excited. It'll be in the mail to you, and you'll get it in a day or two. And I still have that, and the kid's never had another grand mal seizure. And that was a very good testimonial. And then we had another guy named Dr. Howard White back in the VA hospital in New York City submit a paper, another testimony. It was 3 pages typed out. This one was from his anterior spinal surgery and partial paralysis to his full recovery of an anterior spinal injury that completely 100% healed itself up. And he attributes the complete 100% healing to the fact that he was wearing a pyramid on his head for about a year after the surgery. After he was recovering very slowly, he went into a very much faster recovery mode by wearing the pyramid. And that began telling me a lot of things. And first of all, in the case of Stan Alms, Sky Lewis's student, he was taking medications, lithium probably, and other things that they give you for grand mal seizures. And they weren't working, obviously, because the body did not have the amount of electricity to digest the biochemical element of the meds they were giving him. But when he started wearing the pyramid, the electrical precursing energies of the body became apparent, because there probably were no trace minerals in his body, which normally where he would have got them from. And so they became apparent from the pyramid, and then boom, it kicked off his electrical circuits, and his metabolism changed. And as when his metabolism changed, then his whole demeanor changed, and he no longer had grand mal seizures. So that one was pretty easy to analyze how that one went. And with Howard White at the hospital, Dr. Howard White, we found with him the nerves, and I'd always said it was possible, the nerves in his spine actually grew back together again. And up until a period of that time, it was always thought by the medical community that nerves were not repairable. But they are repairable. It's not noticeable in a normal nerve injury unless you add a catalyst to the equation. In this case, the catalyst would be a orgone-plated pyramid in which the healing process is great thusly accelerated. Then we went out. Then I remember we were out on the Aspen, Colorado, on the ski slopes out there in the early 80s. And we had a few injuries from skiing, usually, strangely enough, ankle injuries. And we found that putting the pyramid over the ankle, this didn't matter which one it was, greatly sped up the healing process. Now, remember, as I've said many times before, pyramids or vitamins or any of these kinds of things don't heal you. You have to heal yourself, but the pyramid speeds up the process quite a bit. Many, many times. So getting back to the detoxing of the brain, after you've gone about a year or so, your attention span, I guarantee you, will be much, much greater than it probably ever was in your entire life. Age of, you know, being no factor here, meaning that they tell you people that get older in their 40s and 50s and 60s have a shorter attention span. Let me tell you, if you wear a pyramid, it's just the opposite. And when it is, when you get this longer attention span and this tremendous memory retention which you'll get, don't say I didn't warn you, because it's a little weird when you don't shut your brain down. It just keeps going on and on and on and just doesn't let go. And it's kind of interesting, and it's not in a bad way. It's just, it's kind of fun, but you can, you know, when I wrote my book, Death of Ignorance, I think it was chapter 6 or chapter 8, it took me 24 hours, the chapter on oxygen, it took me 24 hours to write that. And I sat and wrote that whole chapter in one sitting in my living room, a straight 24-hour shot. And as a result of that, I guarantee my attention span wouldn't have done that if I had not a pyramid. And I remember years ago when I introduced these to Ray Bradbury, before he even had his Ray Bradbury Theater. And then later on, Brad Steiger got one. Both of them did, especially Ray. I know Ray, for a fact, wrote most of his stuff for the Ray Bradbury Theater wearing one of my pyridomes. And he wasn't motivated or inclined to go into a power dome. Just a simple old, in those days, $10 pyridome was all he needed, but it was such a gigantic change for him that he never felt he had to upgrade, because it was just profound. And so a lot of the great Ray Bradbury books were written with pyramid on their head. Same thing with Richard Bach. You know, he read my books and he got into it too. And some great authors. And you know, when you're writing, as I'm an author, I'm not as great as those two guys, but I'm an author, and I know from experience that wearing a pyramid on your head, especially a silver power dome while you're writing, is very amazing. The next thing that we found out about him, with the help of a few of my friends in the California Highway Patrol, was that if you wore a pyramid on your head while you're driving, you won't go to sleep, and you won't nod off, and you won't get that weird hypnosis that you get on the road, which will put you to sleep. And so as a result, in all of my cars for years, I've always had a pyramid in there. And I always wear it when I'm driving. And the nice thing about it is that when you're wearing this pyramid on your head, you don't get a neck cramp. You don't get shoulder stress, because shoulder stress is a lodging of energies 18 hertz or higher, 18 cycles per second or higher. And when you wear the pyramid, those energies cannot stay in your body. It's just they just won't stay there. So I've been very happy to report that wearing a pyramid on the head really helps with that. And I had some friends in law enforcement that drove a lot, and they've also worn them, probably still wearing them. Next interesting thing that happened with the development was actually going, I'm just going back. I remember when I was doing a lecture at the Melting Pot in Hollywood, California, way back when. It was back when Lee Majors was married to Farrah Fawcett, and Lee Majors was the $1 million man, if you remember him. And he wore, when he got a hold of one of my fire domes, and he wouldn't even take it off, even when he was on the set. His producer almost fired him because he liked it so much, and he wanted to add it into the series, but they figured that it would steal the show, the fire from Lee Majors as the $1 million man to, remember he played a bionic robot, Superman, wearing that pyramid was going to definitely augment the series to another direction, and his producer didn't want to go there, but I thought that was really funny. So, the next thing that happened was very interesting. This was back when I was single, and I gotta emphasize single and no girlfriends at the time. That is, wearing a pyramid in public is very interesting. You wear it out on the street, you know. That's the best place to do it. For single guys, it's great for attracting women because women are in a higher frequency than men typically. And somebody wearing a pyramid is so cool to them that they'll come right up. Now, a lot of women will go the other way, but you didn't want to meet those women in the first place. And the same thing with girls. If you're wearing a pyramid, all the guys, works a little different for girls, all the guys are going to come after you. Because wearing a pyramid on a woman, it just really drives men crazy. I mean, it is fantasy time for them. I don't know what thoughts go through their head, but if you guys think about seeing a girl with a pyramid on her head, you're going to have to talk to her. You're just going to have to. I mean, why is that wire coat hanger on your head? Or whatever. What is that thing, you know? Is that a dunce cap? Who knows? I had more fun doing that. So I was up, this is back in, well, I forget, this will date me now. This has got to be about 81 or 2. I was up working one day in Hollywood, and I was a vegetarian then too. And so I was at the Source restaurant on Sunset Boulevard. It was called the Source, a very famous place in those days. And I was sitting at a big round table, and it was summertime, and the sun was shining, and there was a great big canopy above me, round canopy-like thing above me, and it was really nice sitting up there, and out there, and I was talking to somebody, and all of a sudden, somebody felt a tapping on my knees, and I looked down, and a girl had come up to where I was sitting and gotten on her knees, and I was sitting in a chair and put her elbows on my lap, and was looking up. I'm looking down at my lap, and these two big blue eyes are looking at me, and this blonde-haired girl is saying, "Who are you?" And I tell you, I didn't know this girl ambushed me. And she came up. When I wasn't paying attention, she got down on her knees and came up to me, and when I'm looking down at my lap, and there's this beautiful girl, and I was looking to the side, to my right, to one of my people I was talking to, and she snuck up on me. She had to plot this out. I mean, I've never had a girl do that to me. And she looks up to me, and she says, "I don't know who you are, but I want to know who you are with that pyramid on your head." And I look down at her, and I says, "Well, I don't know who you are, but you're very pretty, and I think I definitely want to know who you are." And I says, "What's your name?" And she says, "No, wait a minute, I asked first." Well, she was a pushy little thing. And I says, "Well, I'm Dr. Fred Bell." I said, what's your name?" She says, "Oh, my name is Michelle Pfeiffer." And I says, "Well, that's cool." And I says, "Well, what do you do?" And she says, "Well, I'm an actress. I'm over here doing a movie called Grease 2 right now. But I don't care about that. I want to wear that pyramid." So I took the pyramid off my head, and then there was a chair next to me, and Michelle got up off the ground. I mean, this beautiful girl is now dirty from being on the ground with on her knees in this beautiful white pantsuit she had on. She's sitting next to me wearing the pyramid. And it was quite an interesting day, to say the least. And as a result, we became friends. And she probably still, to this day, wears that pyramid on her head. I don't know. I haven't seen her in a long time. I know she's married to David Kelly now, and I've been married a few times since. But that's the kind of things I used to get on an airplane wearing that. And by the end of the flight, I knew everybody on the plane. It was worth knowing, and I was probably invited to more social gatherings and parties and events than I could ever count. I remember one time I was at the Old World restaurant. This is a little bit later on when I was married. My wife Kim and I had Pyramids on. We met this guy Henry Coleman, who was the executive producer for Love Boat at the time. That's a movie series that was on a comedy, and he actually, as we became, he bought the Pyramids off our heads. He wouldn't go home without them. Him and his girlfriend had to have them. So we sold them, and then he offered me a part in the series as we got to be friends in the Love Boat series. He wanted me to play this crazy doctor. So that was an opportunity, but maybe I should have taken that one. I probably wouldn't be doing these radio shows now. You'd be watching me on TV or something. But no, it was a lot of fun meeting all these different people because I wore the Pyramid. So there is an intrinsic social value to it, but that isn't why I did it. And it was always after the fact that I discovered these things. The other thing that we noticed, very similar to the receptor when you wear a Pyramid, is assimilation of vitamins. We noticed that we had tests were run in Las Vegas at a clinic over there, and they found that vitamin C assimilation is about 500% greater when you wear a Pyramid versus not wearing it. We also found that in the very beginning days of the radome, which was the mentally stimulating Pyramid, I would get people calling me up saying, it doesn't seem to be working as good now mentally. I don't seem to have my attention span as much as I did when I first started wearing this. And I got that complaint quite a bit. So they noticed something that was really great, and then suddenly it wasn't there anymore. So this is when I started doing my hormonal research, and then I found out that this had something to do with vasopressin, because vasopressin was a hormone. So I, on a guess, I figured that if I put lysine and arginine back in the body, that would help this problem. It would produce vasopressin if I told them to take it on an empty stomach. So we started giving lysine and arginine to people to take it on an empty stomach, and let us know if there was a change in the character of the Pyramid, if the original long-term attention span product of what it did came back. And sure enough, and all of the people, not some of them, but all of them, the attention span came back. So what we were able to derive from that was that wearing the Pyramid caused the pituitary gland, which was normally going into atrophy, to start functioning again. And as a result of that, we found a lot of people, a lot of women could start having normal menstrual cycles that were getting erratic cycles because it was a pituitary problem. And we learned a lot about the pituitary gland from that, from those days. Because remember, the pituitary gland is the tropic hormone center of the body, meaning it controls every other endocrine gland, every other feeling in the body. So we put lysine and arginine into the vitamins. We started making a vitamin formula, then putting that in there, because we realized that nutritional values of the body would be destroyed without replenishment, because the Pyramid caused so many things in the body, not just the detoxing of the brain, but so many other things in the body started to function that were lying dormant. And we found what was causing the dormancy became another series of tests that we did. And what we found in the dormancy test was that the biggest antagonist of lysine and arginine and vitamin E in the body, which was an antioxidant, because we were also finding we needed to put antioxidants. That's why my newest formula is full of antioxidants, the newest ones on the market, as a matter of fact, the newest discoveries, I should say, on the market that are legally allowable to go out there. What we found was that the body needed to have these nutrients because it was being antagonized by carbon dioxide and fossil fuel, diesel fuel, aircraft smell, truck smell, car smell. This was destroying the body's ability to metabolize nutritional products and attacking, being antagonistic to several of the things that were in the body. So all this might sound quite interesting, but it is interesting to me anyway. I built a company on this for many years, and the main thing is that it helps people so much. And children on Ritalin, obviously, if they wear a Pyramid, because it puts them in alpha, they no longer have to. Now, some kids, it's interesting when you have children wearing Pyramids. If you approach them, what I have found with them, especially younger ones, 6, 7, 8 years old, 5 years old, you have to approach them properly to get them to wear it and enjoy it. The same with the receptor, actually. But if you approach them properly, they'll really enjoy it. And those of you that have hyperactive kids and you want to calm them down and make them mellow, you put pyridomes on them and you get them to keep them on, you got some mellow kids. Another thing that a lot of downhill skiers, when we were working over at Aspen, Colorado, with the Aspen Ski School, and before and after that, which is what actually led up to the pyramid, what happens is when you wear a pyramid on your head and you're a skier, it makes you a lot more coordinated in your moves. Matter of fact, a lot of athletes doing a lot of different things. We ran tests. We had people jog all the way, kind of pull a Dick Gregory going the opposite direction. They came from Florida to a group of people from a university down there came from Florida to California running, jogging. And what they did is they had a couple of vans following with all kinds of medical equipment, and they did evaluation of vital signs at the end of the day. And they got and they took the pyramids into the experiment, and they ran them from Miami to New Orleans, back when New Orleans was still around, and then with no pyramids on, watching their signs, but you know, getting them, and they figured that was long enough to really get a feel for what they were doing, you know, because you know, if you're going to run tests from New Orleans to California, you might say, well, the body, they got into shape, obviously, because it took a few days to get to New Orleans, so therefore their stamina is going to be greater from because they started building it in the first part. It's going to be in the second part of the trip, it's naturally going to be stronger because they had a chance to, you know, really get used to this running process they were doing. But that was taken into that was compensated for, so that was expected. So that was not a part of the test to throw the test off. They were looking more at things like muscle, you know, electromyograph tests where we're looking at muscles, amount of electricity available to the muscle. They were looking at heart rate. They were looking at heart rate, not blood pressure rate. They did look at blood pressure, but heart rate was one of the big concerns. Over an athlete putting out a given amount of energy over a certain distance, if the heart rate lowers, that means they're changing something. Their body's becoming more efficient. If the heart rate stays the same or goes up, that means that that something is not working, or that's how they are. So the heart rate was lowered, and this is 25 athletes. It wasn't just one. It was 25 of them. They all had a lower heart rate as soon as they put the pyramid on. We had these little leather straps they wore, and they wore it all the way out here. And their performance, meaning how far a distance they could travel once they left New Orleans, just that one change of the pyramid on their head was about 18 to 22% higher, I believe the numbers were, per day. So in other words, if you normally, let's say you ran 100 miles in one day or 200 miles in one day, if you ran 100, now you're going to run 118 miles with the same before you start wearing out. Or if you ran 200 miles, you're now going to run 240 miles in a day. It was a noticeable increase in all of them. I think maybe the worst one was 9%, but if I remember correctly, the highest was 22 or 24%. And most of them were in the upper high category. So that was another interesting series of tests that we did. In my book, Death of Ignorance, that was my first book I ever wrote, and covers a lot of this stuff. Well, it looks like we're running out of time. Can you believe that? Just when I start to talk about pyramids, there goes the bell. So anyway, maybe next week, I'm not sure. I never know what my topics are going to be, because I'm not, I don't have the ability to go more than a few minutes into the future with what I'm going to be doing. I'm too, I don't know, crazy for that. So anyway, I hope you enjoyed this show. It was a little different than the last one. But pyramids are very important, and I feel that right now with the pollutions and all the things that are out there, that not only are receptors going to be important, but you need to have a knowledge of the pyramids too. So I hope you enjoyed the show, and I really thank your listeners for absolutely, those of you that made 11 shows with me, it's incredible, it's a record. Usually by now I don't have any listeners, but I guess there's two or three out there, so the two or three of you that are listening, thanks for listening, and we'll be talking soon, and you have a great evening. Bye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.